Welcome to the Georgia Fishing Tactics Podcast, where you get the most current information for fishing Georgia waters. Catch a new episode every Friday so you hit the water prepared. Now, here's your host, Captain TJ Cheek.
Hey, Captain TJ here. Welcome to the GeorgiaFishingTactics.com podcast, episode 13. And before we get started, I just want to remind you that you can win an Abbott reel by going to GeorgiaFishingTactics.com, clicking on forum, register for the forum, and go in there and you'll see a thread that started to win that reel. All you have to do is post a picture, your best fishing picture. It doesn't have to be recent. If it is, that's even better. Maybe you get cool points, but my three-year-old Jackson's going to pull a name out of a hat, and that's who's going to win the reel. This is the second time I've given one of these away. The last time, Ben Roush won the reel and caught a nice bull red on it on his first day out with it. So get in there, see if you can win this thing. It's a real nice reel. I use them all the time myself. So anyway, end of the fishing report. I'll just break it down from inshore, nearshore, and offshore. And basically, inshore has been slightly inconsistent, and I'm talking mainly about the trout. Trout fishing's been tough. You know, I've seen some guys go out there and do fairly well, and by that I mean maybe they catch 15 keepers, maybe 20. Haven't really seen much more than that come back. Nobody's coming back with 40 trout or anything like that. But then, you know, a lot of days you go out there and you just struggle to get on anything solid, any kind of bite that lasts more than a couple minutes. A lot of onesies and twosies, you move to a spot, you catch one, maybe you catch two, and then the bite dies off. Just nothing you can really sink your teeth into on the trout on a lot of days. What has been consistent is redfish and flounder. It looks like we had a good spawn last year because I'm seeing a lot of, 10-inch redfish. So that looks really good. They grow an inch a month. So those fish are just going to be even better through the winter, and next spring those are going to be some really nice fish. A lot of slot redfish and a few over-slot redfish, but it's kind of odd. I'm catching more redfish than I am trout right now, and I'm usually on top of the trout more than anything. Flounder are holding around rocks, docks, pylons, any kind of structure like that, especially if there's a mixed bottom composition around that structure, maybe some sand, a little bit of mud, some broken shell. If you're able to drift a cork, when I'm drifting that cork, especially in places that I'm, expecting to catch flounder, I want to see that cork kind of bump bottom every now and then, not the cork itself, but I want to see the actual sinker kind of bump bottom and see your cork kind of lean away from you or lean to you, just enough to where you can kind of pop it a little bit and break it loose and it drifts again. That just lets me know that I'm fishing in the right zone. I want that thing knocking on the bottom where they can see that bait and come up and get it. Also inshore, been seeing some jack or bow popping up, seeing some triple tail in the river free floating. I haven't really spent a lot of time checking markers, but when you see those fish free jumping and free floating in the river, you know they're on the markers. Generally, when I'm looking for markers to fish, for one, I'm looking for slack tide. If the tide's running pretty hard, I don't even bother. So you're looking for slack tide, and I also like to find channel markers, marking the intercoastal that are in 15 feet of water or less. Usually on the edge of sandbars, there's no real science to why I like that. Maybe it's just less pole to have to fish. But that's kind of what I'm looking for. If it's in real deep water, I don't even really mess with them unless I see a fish by the pole. If you see pogies flushing through, usually that's a good sign. That always makes me feel better to see a lot of bait flushing through that, around that pole. But just pull up and fish the entire pole. Start out a couple feet below the surface, work your way down to the bottom. Keep adjusting your depth and move from pole to pole. You got a short window before that tide starts running again, so you pretty much just want to check it pretty hard and move on to the next one. Same thing with the buoys, except the buoys along the main channel, except I usually don't spend very much time fishing deep. I usually go to about 8 feet deep and then cut it off and I'll go. So moving to nearshore, the biggest thing has been a lot of tarpon showed up a couple weeks ago. and it was really good. You saw a lot of fish. There's a lot of bait out there. And for a few days, they were kind of in a pattern that we can predict what they were going to do. That tropical storm blew through, and it seems like either we haven't quite figured out what they're doing yet, or they're just kind of inconsistent. But I've seen a few fish since that tropical storm passed by, but not nearly as many as I was before. And I've covered a lot of ground. I've been way south down towards Stafford Shoals on Cumberland. I've been up north of Sea Island, and just not seeing the numbers that I was. We were seeing hundreds in a day. Now we're seeing maybe a dozen in a day. So that should all get worked out towards the end of the month. They usually fall into a little bit more predictable pattern, and then we can really start doing some work on the tarpon. Bait's not as thick as it has been in the last several weeks. I've been having to run a little bit further to find good pogies, but I have been finding them. One place that I baited up 2 days ago was between the gazebo and Lake Whitney, about a mile offshore of Cumberland. So if you're familiar with those areas, there was some really, really nice bait in that area. Also saw an extremely large shark that I'm not sure what it was. It had a huge dorsal fin, but it wasn't a hammerhead, but something just massive crashing through that bait. Trout bite on the beach, no, we're talking about near shore, but just to update you, trout bite on the beach has been up and down. But if you're down that way, there should be some bait down there in case you switch gears. Shark fishing off the chain, especially when those shrimp boats get out there in about 20 feet of water, 20 to 30 feet, it's pretty much all you want. Big black tips, big spinner sharks, a lot of black noses. So go out there and get all you want of that. And then moving out to the reefs, there's kingfish, Spanish mackerel, a lot of spade fish, and we've got red snapper season starting this weekend. As a matter of fact, by the time you listen to this, it will be red snapper season. The 11th, 12th, and 13th, and then the following weekend, it'll be another three-day weekend, and then the weekend after that, it's just Friday and Saturday. So if you're heading out offshore for that red snapper season, I suggest you go back and listen to last week's podcast with Captain Judy, and she gave us a lot of good advice. Just go out there and find some structure. She also just put a fishing report out. Hopefully I'll have time to get that up on the website. It talks about some of the red snapper's habits, what kind of depth that they like to be in. A lot of people will fish directly on the bottom for those red snapper. But those fish will get up in the water column, and they will even feed all the way up to the surface. So keep an eye on your depth finder, and also, if you're out there, don't feel like you have to pin a bait to the bottom. If you're losing a lot of rigs trying to drift over some big structure, don't feel like you have to beat that bottom up. Turn that thing, reel that thing up to where it's 15 feet off the bottom, and they'll probably come up and get that thing if you got the right bait. Another thing that Captain Judy suggested in last week's podcast is if you're fishing with a big Spanish sardine or a cigar minnow or anything like that, instead of hooking it through the nose, try hooking it behind the dorsal fin because the fish tend to eat the bait head first, and that way you don't have a big hook and a leader getting in the way of them eating that fish. So try hooking it behind the dorsal fin and see if that helps you out. It might make the bait swim a little bit more erratically and might get you some more hookups and less misses. So that's pretty much it. Just a reminder, go to the forum, register, see if you can win that reel. It's a great reel for catching a red snapper. So see if you can get that thing, spool it up with some 65-pound test Power Pro, and you'll be in good shape. Anyway, that's it. Thanks. Tight lines.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the email list and have a new episode delivered right to your inbox every Friday. If you enjoyed the show, please let us know by leaving a comment at GeorgiaFishingTactics.com. Have a great week on the water. Tight lines.